On Thursday's front page, an about-face on the so-called morning after pill. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius overruled drug regulators on how it can be sold. In China, an entrepreneur's number one competition can be the government. And President Obama's political advisors are focusing more and more on Newt Gingrich. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius overruled drug regulators and stopped the Plan B morning after pill from being sold over the counter to teenagers 16 and younger. They'll still need a prescription. It's available without one to those over 17. Plan B cuts the risk of a pregnancy in half if it's taken after unprotected sex. FDA Administrator Margaret Hamburg had argued that all available studies indicated young women would benefit from easy access. In China, employees steal manufacturing secrets almost every day. But Times reporter David Barboza has a story about industrial counterfeiting with a twist. A factory manager from one biotech company stole its secret ingredient and started another company with the backing of the Chinese government. Goldman Sachs and other investors had pumped $120 million into the first company. Its plans for going public are now on hold. Thursday's Times says New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's tax overhaul plan followed a familiar course that included limited debate in Albany. The first sign that he wanted to do it came in a blast email on Sunday. That was 48 hours before he announced it as a done deal. On Wednesday, he gave a party celebrating it. By then, lawmakers still hadn't seen the bill authorizing the changes, which include higher tax rates for affluent New Yorkers and reductions for the middle class. Britain is fidgeting as a bystander to what's going on in the rest of Europe. There's looming recognition at No. 10 Downing Street that if the euro falls, Britain will sink along with everyone else. But if Europe pulls itself together, Britain will be all the more marginalized. Many Europeans don't like British conservative smugness. Prime Minister David Cameron's posturing has irritated German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. On Thursday, they'll begin another round of discussions on saving the euro and rescuing the EU. President Obama and his political allies are turning their sights on Newt Gingrich. That's a sign that the White House has realized Gingrich could end up being Mr. Obama's opponent next year. The White House had been focused on Mitt Romney. Obama strategist David Axelrod says Gingrich was not a factor in the race for a long time because he was left behind at Tiffany's. That's a reference to jewelry Gingrich bought with a $500,000 line of credit. Thursday's Times looks at the brouhaha over horse-drawn carriages here in New York. Animal rights activists are pushing for a law banning them. Carriage owners infiltrated the activist strategy sessions, and the ASPCA is also caught up in the debate. Its chief equine veterinarian says her supervisors pushed her to slander conclusions about the death of a carriage horse in order to generate sympathy for a ban. Inside Thursday's Times, Egypt's military rulers said they'll maintain authority over the interim government. They also said they would control the process of writing a constitution. They said they want to check the power of Islamists who have taken a commanding lead in parliamentary elections. Military officials said all this at a briefing for foreign reporters. The message was apparently aimed at the Obama administration. Cairo wants Washington to back away from its call for civilian rule. Former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky was arrested on new sex abuse charges. The allegations come from two new accusers. They went before a grand jury following Sandusky's initial arrest last month. One says he was assaulted in 2004, the other in 1997. Separately, a prosecutor in upstate New York says former Syracuse assistant basketball coach Bernie Fine cannot be prosecuted for sex abuse. Assistant sports editor Connor Ennis tells us that word came from District Attorney William Fitzpatrick.
The first two accusers of Fine are former ball boys for the Syracuse basketball team who are now in their late 30s. The abuse that they allege occurred in the 1980s. Fitzpatrick actually said that he found the two men who had accused Fine of being very credible.
But for the obvious problem of the statute of limitations, Their allegations would have resulted in the arrest of Bernie Fine.
There is still a federal investigation of Fine going on that involves a third accuser. He's alleging abuse that happened out of state within the last decade. However, in this third case, the DA has said that some of the evidence is problematic, and the third accuser himself is facing accusations of sexual abuse. So how that investigation against Bernie Fine goes forward still remains to be seen.
Assistant sports editor Connor Ennis. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.